When big corporations like Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan Chase, the Blackstone Group, Fannie Mae, Northern Trust, Northrop Grumman, and Citigroup and many others are all offering multi-million dollar bonuses for their executives to retire early and enter into public office. Yes, when they give bribes to their executives to retire early and take jobs in government regulatory commissions, folks, maybe it's time we all started paying more attention to our political process. I'm Hart D. Fisher, and I'm about to give you a major motherfucking heart attack. Well, hello, folks. I am Hart D. Fisher, and yes, you heard the introduction. You are listening to Heart Attack. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Last week, we interviewed John Neese from Galco's Soda Pop Stop, and today I was down over at Galco's because there was a documentary shooting an interview with John about the effect of the bicycle lanes or moving vehicle lanes from the busiest streets around his business and how it's affected him. So that was kind of cool to see. I had a weird thing happen to me this week. On Monday night after 10 o'clock, somebody took a shit on my car. Yes, somebody took a shit on the trunk of my car.
See, something similar to that happened. This is years and years and years ago. So some neighbor girl was being all snotty with one of my neighbors, and he kicked her off his property and told her to get off. And then an hour later, he sees her with her skirt hiked up, but an 8-year-old girl just shitting on the trunk of his car.
Oh, my God.
People do this weird shit, man.
I tell you, and it's funky. I called up the police to report it as, you know, vandalism, because a lot of weird shits has been going on. No pun intended, weird shit. And you know what? The police didn't want to take a report. They told me since my car wasn't damaged, it wasn't a crime. Well, that's fucking bullshit. They should have taken my police report. I'm like, what the fuck? And they talked to their watch commander. They talked to the detectives. And because there was not any actual physical damage, besides the fact that I had to go clean the shit off, they didn't want to take a report. But that's kind of crazy to me. And then as the week has unfolded, you, Josh, I mean, happy birthday to you, Josh. I know you're not feeling it, but I'm going to go for it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Josh Hadley. It'll get better or you'll die.
Like the post I made on Facebook, you know, it's days like this that make going on a kill crazy rampage seem like not that bad of an option.
Yeah, to start off with, the poor fucking guy now got identity theft on him. And to top that off, your water was fucked up. And now your electricity went out today and fried a bunch of your shit. Dude, what is going on over there at your place? Tell the listeners, what the fuck happened?
I'm not sure on all of it. I mean, yeah, the identity theft thing happened. So I have no bank account anymore. Banks don't want to touch me anymore because the people have my social security number, my wife's social security number, and they have all of our information. So even if we open an account at another bank, there's nothing to stop them from pretending that they're me again. And just going, hey, I'd like access to my account, so I might not be able to get an actual bank account again, or at least a secure one. All of a sudden, my wife goes to bed about 3:30 in the morning. I see her off to bed. I come down. I go to wash my hands when I'm making something to eat, and I've got no water. I'm like, what the hell?
Turns out, 3 in the morning, like you're getting ready for bed, and it's 3 in the morning, and bang, no water.
Right. And it turns out that the water main froze, so my entire neighborhood didn't have water. It's a little over 2.5 days, so rounding, for 3 days, we had no running water. I had to go to my mom's to shower. My son had to go to my mom's to shower. I had to go fill up water bottles to flush the toilet with. Couldn't do dishes. And you know what? You forget just how much you rely on running water. You don't know how many times I was brushing my teeth or something with the jugs, and you just reach for the sink. It's just such a habit, and you're like, oh, that's right, I can't. I've just had this little jug of cold water, that's it. Luckily, I'm in Wisconsin, so for dog water and toilet flushing water, we would just fill up a bucket with snow and then melt that on the stove.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, it was like Mountain Man fucking time.
Well, isn't that what you had to do for the toilet? Like, you had to melt water to put into the whatchamacallit, the tank, in order to even be able to use your toilet? Because it's wintertime. It's not like you're going to go hang a crapper out in the yard.
Exactly. My wife was joking, just go, you know, you're a dude. You just go pee out on the fucking lawn. I'm like, what am I, a dog?
Well, you know, here in the state of California, we're going through a record drought, and if you go take a piss in your backyard, you're saving 5 gallons every time you do that.
And then, this morning, a couple of guys come over from the utilities to check on everything and whatnot, and they move a lead wire on a pipe, you know, right by where their regulator is. All the lights in my house flicker, and a bunch of my shit goes wonky. Turns out that there was a huge electrical problem. It was a grounding problem. All of my house's electricity was being run through my pipes. My pipes were acting as the ground wire.
Oh, my God.
And when this was all said and done, my fridge is on the fritz. I lost a beta VCR. I lost two VHS VCRs. My humidifier is not working properly. We got it to kind of kick back up, but it's kind of sputtering, and it's a lot louder than it should be. What we're going to have to do is basically probably bill the utilities and see if their insurance will replace this shit. Although I don't know how their insurance is going to replace a 1988 beta VCR.
Wow, because that's
eBay or something.
You're gonna have, you know, that's the thing. I had my house robbed before, and dealing with the insurance companies over evaluating what we had was kind of tricky. And you know, some of it were guns were stolen, and cash was stolen, and clothing was stolen. That's back when I lived in Champaign, Illinois. It was a pain in the ass dealing with the insurance people. I mean, they paid, and I was able to replace all my stuff. I actually couldn't complain. My experience with the insurance companies, they were pretty cool about it. So I got robbed twice, actually. So the second time I got robbed, I had an organized list of everything I had in the house, because I learned from the first time. Be patient in dealing with the insurance company. I'm hoping you can get your stuff back. But dude, this identity theft shit is kind of crazy. I mean, didn't you say they ran up like a bunch of debt under your name? And you don't have real good credit, do you?
No.
How much debt did they run up into, like, was it 2 days?
I'm not sure of the totals yet.
But it's like thousands of dollars, yes. Isn't it?
And here was the funny part. Right before Hart and I recorded this, I was on the phone with my bank security people. These people who stole my identity might have fucked up. I didn't even have a chance to tell my wife this because it just happened. I live in Wisconsin. They had checks shipped with my account number and our names shipped to them and overnighted to them, which they're now writing out in Washington state. That has now crossed state lines and used the post office. That might be now federal fraud. Have moved from criminal to federal.
That's very, very good.
Security is going to talk to the postmaster, because they're like, the post office takes that shit very serious.
You know, you hope they do, because I'm aware of the postal inspectors here in California bungling a job. I'm aware of a guy who's kind of on the run. I can't talk about it publicly on the air. He's a guy who's hit a lot of horror creators with identity theft, and the investigation in the case is ongoing. So I don't want to jam up the cops on getting this guy, but the whole clusterfuck over it was just kind of amazing, between the various police agencies, the FBI was involved, got the postal inspectors involved because this person was stealing shit out of the U.S. mail. And they spent a lot of time passing the buck. So I'm really hoping that they nail these guys for you, because I know I had a problem where I had some identity theft committed on me many years ago. But that was a person I knew was in my house and got our cards. And the weird thing was, I was dealing with stuff with my wife's cancer. So it really wrecked our credit. It really destroyed our businesses and our lives for a little while, because, you know, once the cancer hits, your whole life changes. And it's all about, we got to do everything we can to save this person's life. And the bills, oh my God, the bills, Jesus. It's so hard to get out from under all that. What I'm really confused by is, I had shitty credit. How did the guy who got my card get the money? Like, I couldn't get all this extra money that he managed to get out of my accounts. So I'm wondering, you don't have the best credit in the world. How the fuck did they do this? Do they have access to credit stuff that, like, regular people don't? How did they just get all this money out of nowhere?
See, one of the things that they do is, they got checks sent to them. Checks normally take 2 to 3 days to clear. So you go to Walmart, you buy a refrigerator, you go and you buy a bunch of expensive electronics.
It doesn't work that way anymore, dude. Those checks are all it's all like, unless you're going to like some mom and pop that barely takes credit cards, they revamped the whole checking system. So the checks are supposed to be checked like that day. If your account doesn't have money in it that day, they're not supposed to allow the check to go through, just like a credit card. And they made these changes years ago. It was an issue I had to deal with my old business. You know, I had to make sure that I had all the right amounts of money in my accounts at that moment. There's no wiggle room. There was no days waiting. And so that's my question is, I was made aware that the check systems have been updated, so that scam shouldn't even work.
Well, all I know is that they've been writing checks out in my name and buying things. And so I don't know if they're getting cash.
They must have made
or
fake ID with you then, too. Probably, they must have fake ID because no one takes a check without ID.
So, but look at it like this. Say they go and bought a 52-inch widescreen TV from some mom-and-pop place that took the check. Now, when that check bounces, and it will because that account is no longer active, all of a sudden, that retailer in Washington State is going to be looking at some guy named Josh Hadley that bounced a check for him, and he's going to come after me. Mm-hmm. And these people are long gone.
Yeah. No, I hear. And in fact, you know, when my house got robbed, the funny thing was, it was a bunch of junkies. The first time it got robbed, it was a bunch of junkies, and they got caught because they sold all of my computer equipment to a local pawn shop computer place and took a check. And that's how they got caught.
Well, some people aren't smart. These people seem to have done this really smart, except for the whole mailing themselves the checks, which, you know, that got the interest of the feds then.
They're also, dude, with all the security cameras and such, let's say they went in and they bought the refrigerator. From the cash register receipt, you know exactly what time they bought the registers. They processed it. It's all in the computer. You can go to the camera security system in the store and you could pull up stills, because we know they've got security cameras on every goddamn cash register at these major big box chains. So if somebody's buying major purchases with your checks, there should be surveillance footage somewhere of these people either entering the parking lot, leaving the building, leaving the front door. With the computer systems at hand, it's very, very easy to track these people down. It takes a little legwork is all.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping that these idiots screw up. All I know is that email address that when they broke into my account and started changing everything was in the UK. The cell phone that they tried to change the contact info to was in Alabama, and the checks were shipped to Washington. I'm not sure if that all syncs up or not. If this is like a group of people or one person that's just got shit all over the place to try and confuse people.
I'm just confused that you got hit at all, because you're not the person that's going to have a ton of money. You're a bad person for identity theft. I don't have the greatest credit in the world. You know, it's taken me a long time to rebuild my life after Waka's illness. And it's still tough, you know, still tough getting back on your feet. We had a bank that opened up a bunch of accounts in our name. Somebody in the bank illegally opened up accounts in our name, and we were just lucky enough to catch it.
And see, on this, the bank security caught it. They started noticing this, you know, there was some weird activity.
That's cool.
And that was a flag to them. And the thing that's going to hurt me the most is the fact that no bank's going to want to take a chance on me again because of the fact that I cannot have a secure account anymore under my name and my social security number.
Did you have your bank account set up for online banking?
Yeah, I did.
Were you shopping? Do you have a Sony account for your PlayStation?
I don't have a PlayStation. My son does, and I'm sure he has a PlayStation account somewhere.
Is it tied into your financials?
I don't believe so.
Do you guys do auto bill pay?
We had some, but I've already called those places and said, no, you know, it's going to have to stop.
We heard about Kickstarter getting hacked.
I did hear about that.
That really sucks, man. I mean, I want to wish you a happy birthday. I was on the radio the other day talking about how happy I am to do this show on Jackalope, and it's a hell of a thing. We're coming up, like, we're recording show number 41. Holy shit. And here it is, your birthday, and we're working. We almost didn't record the show today because of the electrical problems in your house. That really
I wasn't sure if I would have electricity to record with, but
yeah, that sucks. And it's winter time over there, so it's it's fucking cold.
Well, that and all this happened, they were banging on the door at 9, little before 9 this morning. I go to bed at 7 a.m. So I've had about 3 total hours of sleep, and that's with catching 2, 2.5 right before we record this. So I'm also running on fucking empty as well.
Jesus fucking Christ. Well, I'll tell you, guys at home, ladies at home, if you ever wanted to support Josh Hadley, if you ever wanted to help out, pick up some shirts. I mean, we don't have a lot of sponsors here. We are pretty angry young men, and these shirts are the way that we can make money. It's an easy way to support the show. It's an easy way to support Josh. Josh could really use your help. This money goes directly to us. It doesn't go through some other company. It goes right to us. We're the ones handling this. We ship overseas. So definitely, if you are ever going to get a What the Fuck, a Radiodrome, a Lost in the Static, if you're ever going to get one of those shirts, now is a really good time to do it. It's really going to help Josh out. He's in a real bind right here. I mean, the water, all the bullshit. It's been a real shit fest for Josh, and all I got was some crap on my trunk. That's literally nothing compared to this. Yeah, literally, you know, that's nothing compared to what you're dealing with this identity theft issue. That's just such a major kick in the balls.
This is going to follow me for a long, long time.
It's well, you know, they're getting better at it, and you just got to stay diligent about fixing up your life. I went through this myself on a smaller scale, and you just got to stay focused on the small steps, on what you control yourself. And that's why I'm saying, folks at home, we at 1201beyond.com, the AmericanHorrors.com /store, these are the places where you can go and you can help us out. You can support us. And also, wearing the shirts around town and stuff is a great way to show people what you're listening to and what you're behind. I actually had a guy tell me the other day that he gets all his news from Heart Attack. Oh, shit. Oh, no. And on that note, buy some shirts. We're going to go to song. Take a leak.
I was a holler.
All right, that song you guys just heard was Time Bomb from the Royal Crescent Mob. Back when I was a bouncer at Mabel's in Champaign, Illinois, that was a rock and roll club that I worked at as security at the door. And their band was playing one night, and I got punched in the mouth throwing a guy out. This guy was knocking chicks down in the mosh pit, and I was throwing him out, and his brother came running up and cold cocked me from behind. So that's my memory of that band. It was a hell of a night, and we eventually ended up, I filed criminal charges on the gentleman who assaulted me and battered me, and he had to do community service because our bar, I got scooped up by my own security. This guy cold cocked me. I let go of the other guy, and boy, the look in my face must have been, I'm going to kill you, because my own guys grabbed me. Grabbed me by my shoulders and feet and picked me up off the ground. It was hilarious, and it all worked out. So that's my story about Royal Crescent Mob. And here we are. You're listening to Heart Attack. With me is a very, very tired, worn into the ground Josh Hadley.
Worse than that, I'm just spent.
Yeah, yeah. This is one of the lowest I've heard, Josh. But you know what? I want to go into a little high note here, because the National Security Agency, the NSA, and the Department of Homeland Security tried to ban a series of satirical T-shirts and coffee mugs from the website Zazzle.com. And they had T-shirts stuff like, it looks like it's like the National Security Agency badge, but underneath it says National Security Agency. Peeping while you're sleeping. The NSA, the only part of government that actually listens. And that's one of the shirts that really pissed off the NSA. And they had done a bunch of different parody shirts and parody coffee mugs, all ridiculing the NSA and Homeland Security. And so they overstepped their bounds, and they sent a cease and desist notice to the website and to the makers of the products. And they were saying, well, you know, we got some criminal sanctions here, and you know, if you don't stop this, you're going to be in big trouble. Well, guess what? Homeland Security said, oh, gee, our cease and desist letter raising the possibility of criminal sanctions was, quote, overbroad. The statute cited, the agency conceded, don't apply to, quote, uses of the name, initials of the seal, or of an agency for purposes of commentary about the agency. So the people who made the shirt, they had a lawsuit. They fucking won, folks. They won. The NSA and Homeland Security tried to shut these guys down, but they were able to keep on keeping on. And now these shirts are going to be available again.
There's also the fact, Hart, there is the parody exception to anything. You can parody anything. I remember they tried to not call this parody. They called it racism. There was a rodeo that, you know, some famous rodeo down in Texas or Oklahoma.
Oh, was that the one where they had the Obama clown?
Right. And they tried to say, well, that's racist because they've got him running around like a monkey and whatnot. And it wasn't racist because they also did that when Bush was in office clown as Bush and as Reagan and as Clinton. And it's just because the president happens to be black, that does not mean making fun of him is racist.
And the guy, that rodeo clown thing, he wasn't running around like a monkey. He was running around like a rodeo clown.
That's what they tried to claim, that he was running around acting like a monkey.
No, it was ridiculous. He's trying not to get hit by the damn bull. I mean, that's the thing that I saw when I saw that footage. That was kind of ridiculous. So that's something that is clearly one of the things that is in the weaponry of our citizenship of America is a long, long history of satire and political satire, especially. I mean, it was so great when Saturday Night Live had their Palin sketches. And frankly, the Obama sketches on Saturday Night Live suck. They're not funny. I'm almost ready to turn off. Like sometimes I skip the Obama sketch. They're not funny. The Bush sketches were hilarious. The Bill Clinton sketches were hilarious. Papa Bush, you know, he was
when Dana Carvey was George Bush one, you mean?
Yeah, when Dana Carvey was George Bush one, or they were making fun of Ross Perot, or, you know, I love political satire. I like to laugh, and I kind of have a gallows humor. I've been through a lot in my life, so I try to laugh at things. I try to have a sense of humor about myself, about, you know, what I'm doing. People may think I'm super serious, and I am super serious, but I also like to have a good time and like to crack up. I want one of these shirts. I want the NSA, the only part of government that actually listens. That cracks me up. Peeping while you're sleeping. I love it, man. That is you know, humor at its best.
I remember I made a joke once way back when I worked at Channel 2 in Green Bay that we had a really conservative producer. I mean, he was a hardcore right-wing Republican. And this is, like I said, this is like early 2000s. So this is when the Patriot Act was allowing them to listen to people, you know, before the NSA started doing it so brazenly. Mm-hmm. And I made a joke during a commercial break. I said, hey, I lost a couple of emails to my wife. Do you think I could call your friends at the FBI and they could provide me with their copies of them? He lost wow. his shit. The conservatives, you've got all the Rush Limbaughs and all that that love to like Barack the Magic Negro and African American and all this. But my God, you make fun of them. You make fun of their guy. And it's, you've got no fucking respect for America.
Well, I had that issue when I was doing parody comics in the comic industry. You know, I didn't just do Dahmer books all day as Boneyard Press. One of the things we did was a book called Kill Image, where an independent publisher loses his mind and goes and murders the founders of Image Comics. And the founders of the, they were all terrified. They thought I was really going to come kill them. And I'm like, guys, it's a comic book. It's a parody. It's funny. Ha ha. And then the Marvel people loved it. They loved it. They bought like 20 copies of the book. They bought the special edition. But as soon as I did the Kill Marvel book, which was nowhere near as personal, the Kill Image book was about the guys starting the company. It was about Todd McFarlane, Rob Liefeld, and Jim Lee. And it was personal, you know. And so the Marvel book was parodying, you know, Namor and the various goofy characters in Marvel and parodying the superheroes. And it was the same kind of thing. This guy gets hellacious powers and goes after Marvel. And the Marvel dudes had no sense of humor about it at all. They didn't think it was funny. They were pissed off. And it's like, come on, man. If you're going to laugh when it's the other guy, you got to be able to laugh when it's yourself.
Did you see the new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer that debuted the day before we're recording this?
No, uh-uh.
You're familiar with the character of Star-Lord, right?
I have to admit this to everybody. Part of my problems with Marvel is I grew up a Marvel maniac. Make mine Marvel! Enough said! The Marvel bullpen Bolton! I loved it all. I was a tremendous maniac for all things Marvel. That Guardians of the Galaxy. I really liked the George Perez Avengers. I loved comic books growing up. I devoured them. The John Byrne X-Men days was fantastic. I loved Master of Kung Fu. That was my favorite comic book. Shang-Chi, the son of Fu Manchu, Master of Kung Fu. That was my favorite book, my all-time favorite. With Gene Day was one of my favorite artists there, and Mike Zack and Jim Steranko did some, or is he Captain America? Now I'm thinking of, God damn it, now I'm just geeking out.
He might have done some Shang-Chi. The Star-Lord I grew up reading, and everyone's calling me just, hey, maybe you should read some modern comics that this is the way the character is now. Okay, the Star-Lord from the 70s and 80s was a Buck Rogers knockoff space cop in a skin-tight costume.
Yeah,
all of a sudden,
was.
I see the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer. He's a jean jacket-wearing, smart-ass human who is a petty thief and is always accidentally breaking stuff. I'm going, how in the fuck is this the same character?
Yeah, they don't
apparently,
care,
apparently, that's
Josh.
The character now in the Marvel comics. So they're like, no, it's accurate to the comics. Apparently, they retconned him in 2000.
Yeah, you know, I don't really read the comics anymore. I just did a big interview for BloodyDisgusting.com where I talked a lot about some of my conflicts in the past. If you folks want to learn some things about me, you think you know me, you need to go read these interviews. It's in part two is up right now at BloodyDisgusting.com. I've ruffled quite a bit of feathers. And the thing is folks are like, well, why is Hart talking about this stuff again? Well, because they fucking asked me the questions. When you are being interviewed, you don't get to decide what you're going to talk about. I'm not Brad Pitt, okay? When people interview me, they ask me fucking questions, and I fucking answer them. That's the way it works. So for the guy at bleedingcool.com who singled one of my answers in this question about why I have a problem with Gerard Way, but left out the actual reason of why I have a problem with Gerard Way, dude, you really fucked up on that one. You really fucked up on that. And I got to ask you, why did you decide to leave out all the stuff about my wife's cancer and what this guy Gerard Way and his fans did to her during her recovery from cancer? Why'd you leave that shit out, dude? This is an article on bleedingcool.com. and it leaves out the most important stuff from the interview at bloodydisgusting.com. He just got on a soapbox and kind of gave me some shit. Well, here's some sounds shit right back
like,
at you.
Yeah, it sounds to me like he was cherry picking. Well, this makes Hart look like an asshole. This would explain why Hart's saying this, so that gets excised.
And it was weird because the interview before, he talked about his own experience with having some of his books destroyed. And the same kind of thing that happened to me with the Dahmer stuff, where a bunch of the Dahmer books were destroyed by a distributor who didn't want to give them to their retailers because they were located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I don't understand the turnaround to use the same position to, like you said, cherry pick the information and pull a total Fox News.
And see, that's the problem is, but people will believe what they read. So if people see the Bleeding Cool version first, mm-hmm. they're probably not going to go to the Bloody Disgusting page. And I'm assuming that there was a link there. I haven't seen the Bleeding Cool page. So there was a link there.
They had a link there. And one of the things that's going on is they asked me some more about Leanne Spiderbaby's plagiarism. They asked me a little bit about the shenanigans that Chris Alexander's been pulling over at Fango. So there's a little bit of, ooh, horror gossip. Somebody says and addresses the elephant in the room. Ooh, because there's a lot of things out there in the horror world that news people can't report on because they can't get someone to come forward and state the facts as they are. And that's where I kind of come in. If you want to come to Heart Attack and tell it like it is, we're here. You know, as you well know, we have guests. If you're a creator or a horror person who's got an interesting story about dealing with crooked distributors or dealing with weird magazines or, you know, we're looking for different kinds of guests to come on here. So find us at Heart Attack. We're on Facebook. You can find us at facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. We're also on Twitter. You know, I'm on there, Hart_Fisher, and that's H-A-R-T. And then you could always find us on the web, you know, AmericanHorrors.com, 1201Beyond.com. But right now, we're going to break for commercial and try to sell you some stuff.
Hey, you guys, Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And I just wanted to share with you something I read recently on HuffingtonPost.com. I read about a Harvard University study that found that children who live in areas with highly fluoridated water have significantly lower IQ scores than those who live in low fluoride areas. So now we have actual proof that too much fluoride in your water that you get from the city in your faucet can make you dumber. Not exactly you dumber, but they're going to make your kids dumber. That's just one of the many reasons that I drink Hydro Blue. That's right, I personally drink Hydro Blue. And you could be drinking Hydro Blue too if you go to HydroBlue.com and use the code word horror to get your 15% discount on your order. That's right, HydroBlue.com, code word horror. Get yourself some good old-fashioned, solid, untainted drinking water for you and your family so you kids can get an edge on your compatriots in school. But that's not the only thing I'm here selling. Go to the AmericanHorrors.com/store. That's right. Go to AmericanHorrors.com/store. And if you want to find out what kind of crazy stuff I write, well, get yourself a copy of Still Dead. Or get yourself a copy of Stephen Elliott's Jones Inn. Or get a copy of On Raven's Wings by Gerard Way. Or even a t-shirt. That's right, even an American Horrors or Radiodrome or Lost in the Static t-shirt can all be found at AmericanHorrors.com/store. You want to know how you can support all the great shows on Jackalope Radio and help us feed our families? This is it. Buy a shirt, buy a book, or buy a DVD today.
Thank you. trying to get on board and drink myself asleep at home.
Welcome back to Heart Attack. That song you guys heard was from Screaming Trees, and yeah, I got a couple records from them in my my basement. What we're going to talk about right now is, I don't know, we've been beating on this Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement quite a bit, guys, but there's a new wrinkle in this that's just been reported. If you guys want to take a look at the facts, you can check out www.flushthetpp.org. And this, I'm just going to read this real quick here. Officials tapped by the Obama administration to lead the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade negotiations have received multi-million dollar bonuses from Citigroup and Bank of America. What the fuck? That sounds like a bribe to me. Now, let me get in deeper. Let me go back to the article. Stefan Selig, a Bank of America investment banker nominated to become the Undersecretary for International Trade at the Department of Commerce, received more than $9 million in bonus pay as he was nominated to join the administration in November. Bonus came in addition to the $5.1 million in incentive pay awarded to Selig last year. Michael Froman, the current U.S. trade representative, received over $4 million as part of multiple exit payments when he left Citigroup to join the Obama administration. Froman told Senate Finance Committee members last summer that he donated approximately 75% of the $2.25 million bonus he received for his work in 2008 to charity. Citigroup also gave Froman a $2 million payment in connection to his holdings in two investment funds, which was awarded, quote, in recognition of Froman's service to Citigroup in various capacities since 1999. Many large corporations with a strong incentive to influence public policy award bonuses and other incentive pay to executives if they take jobs within the government. Citigroup, for instance, provides an executive contract that awards additional retirement pay upon leaving to take a, quote, full-time, high-level position with the U.S. government or regulatory body, end quote. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan Chase, the Blackstone Group, Fannie Mae, Northern Trust, Northrop Grumman are among the other firms that offer financial rewards upon retirement if you go into government service. We're going to give you more money to leave us and go join a regulatory company. Are you fucking kidding me?
Hart,
you're going to get a bonus? Because
Hart,
you're going to go...
This is no different. Hart, this is no
It's different. It's a bribe. It's a payoff. It's all in front of us. It's all
Hart,
out in the
open. Look at what's happening in North Dakota right now. There is a company that is dumping coal ash into the rivers, contaminating all the rivers. Bunch of their companies are doing this. A citizens group has tried three separate times to sue them civilly for this. Every time, the state of North Dakota steps in and stops it and says, we'll take over, and they slap them with a couple of $1,000 fine. The governor is the former CEO of this company.
Oh my God, dude.
No, I'm not kidding.
How could that not be a clear, I'm speechless.
This isn't new. This is what happens with shit like Citizens United.
But you know what, Josh?
Political contributions.
That doesn't mean that my outrage is any less valid just because it's
not new.
No,
I'm not trying to, I'm not
discounting
your outrage.
That's what it sounds like.
No. I'm not discounting your outrage. I'm saying I don't even get surprised at this anymore. Because
I think everybody should
be. Commonplace.
Our listeners are surprised. People are surprised by this. I had no idea that they had it into their contract that when you're working at Goldman Sachs, hey, man, here's an extra $5 million. Go take a seat on the commission that regulates us. Here's another $6 million. Go take a seat on this commission that's going to make all the laws that regulate, I don't know, poison dumping. That's just, what the fuck?
What we need to do is we need to institute a law. And some president has to have the balls to do this, but they won't because they only get elected because
they're bought and paid for.
Right. Somebody needs to slip in Robin Williams, Man of the Year style, and actually say, I have no backers. I'm going to make a law that outlaws lobbying, that says if you've worked in private industry and then you get a job within the government, you can have no influence over the industry you used to work at. You know, like a conflict of interest.
Yeah, dude, I didn't know this, man. This just really blows my mind. No wonder they don't give a damn about us. No wonder they could care less about what we say, what our opinions are. No wonder they just don't care because they know the game is rigged. They got it rigged. They got it jammed. And I don't know, maybe this might have something to do with they've got their eighth banker died mysteriously in the last month. Eight different bankers have all died mysteriously, and somehow they've all been ruled suicides, Josh, and a lot of them are all magically jumping off of roofs, because, you know, the most common form of suicide is jumping off a roof. This is from IntelliHub.com, and in Hong Kong, a man apparently jumped from the J.P. Morgan building in Hong Kong this week, becoming the eighth banker to die mysteriously this month. What do you mean he jumped off the roof? Do you know how hard it is to get on the roof of most buildings? It's not easy getting on the roof of a bank building. It's kind of tough. They had 58-year-old former senior executive at Deutsche Bank was found dead in his home after an apparent suicide in South Kensington on January 26th. That was William Brokesmith. Carl Slim, 51-year-old Tata Motors managing director, was found dead on the fourth floor of the Shangri-La Hotel in Bangkok on January 27th. On January 27th, back in London, Gabriel McGee, a 39-year-old J.P. Morgan employee, died after falling from the roof of the J.P. Morgan European headquarters in London. So let me get this straight. These guys are all of a sudden just falling off the roof. But wait, Number four, Mike Duker, 50-year-old chief economist of a U.S. investment bank, was found dead close to the Tacoma Narrows Bridge in Washington State. Number five, Richard Talley, the 57-year-old founder of American Title Services, an insurance company in Centennial, Colorado, was found dead earlier this month after apparently shooting himself with a nail gun in the chest, in the neck, and in the back of the fucking head.
I was going to say multiple times. You don't shoot yourself with a nail gun to commit suicide multiple times in the face.
Yeah, so are we starting to understand here, guys? This might be some kind of fucked up torture murder conspiracy here. Number six, Tim Dickinson, a UK-based communications director at Swiss Re AG, also died last month. However, the circumstances surrounding his death are still unknown to us, the public. Number seven, Ryan Henry Crane, a 37-year-old executive at J.P. Morgan again, huh? Died in an alleged suicide. Just a couple weeks ago. No details have been released about his death aside from his small obituary announcement in the Daily Voice. Number eight, Lee Junji, 33-year-old banker in Hong Kong, just happened to jump from the J.P. Morgan headquarters in Hong Kong this week. Were they killed for knowing too much? Were they killed because they wouldn't toe the line in another dirty scheme? Were they rubbed out because you got to wipe out your paper trail in the flesh? This is serious here. Between all this information coming out about all these executives being paid massive bonuses to negotiate our treaties, not for us, but for the corporations, and all these bankers are mysteriously dying. I mean, it sounds like half these dudes are from J.P. Morgan Chase. It sounds to me like they're hushing something up major. Like, you don't just all of a sudden have motherfuckers falling off roofs. You don't. It doesn't happen. I'm a true crime guy, guys. I've been to murder trials. I hang out with cops. This isn't normal shit. And the suicide. That's the thing they always rule. And here's the funny thing is, they want the other people to know that these guys were murdered. Otherwise, they just would have hit them up with, I don't know, a heart attack drug. They would have just given them a shot. They would have injected an air bubble. They could have had a car accident. Somebody wants a message to be sent. That's why they're flying off of roofs. All of a sudden, you got to, hey, man, I'm jumping off the roof today. We all talk about this shit in the news, and I read the news on a regular basis, and you could talk about it from, oh, it's like the 20s. Something major is going to happen. Yeah, some major scam is about to happen. J.P. Morgan Chase is involved in all kinds of criminal shit, involved with mortgage and securities fraud. And who is dying? Mortgage and securities guys. Investment bank guys.
Got to clean up all the part. You have to clean up all the loose ends.
Yeah, man. This is why I say it again and again and again. Get off your fucking ass, open your eyeballs, because they're screwing us to the wall. They are screwing us to the wall. Whose idea was it to go all digital with our money and to make it this easy to steal Josh's identity? Whose friggin' idea was it to go off with all these credit cards? I've been moving back to cash. You know why I like cash? Because when I take my cash and I go buy a book, I'm the guy who knows I bought that book. Nobody needs to know I bought that book. I went in, I bought my book. I rented my movie. I bought my pornography. I did it with cash. It's a lot harder to suck that cash out of my pocket, isn't it? It's a lot harder for the government to keep track of what I'm doing if I'm spending my cash. I still write checks. I don't do online banking. I avoid online everything. After I had some things happen to me, I avoid it all. I advise everybody out there, you get yourself two credit cards and two credit cards only. One credit card is for your bills, and you pay that damn thing off every single month. Your other credit card, hey, that's for walking around and doing BS like buying gas. But mostly, man, that's an emergency card. That's the card you use when you got to get a hotel room. All right? For the most part, folks, we got to get back into cash. There is some scary stuff happening in the banks. There is some bad stuff happening. I'm a big fan of barter, too. I mean, I've got some tattoos on me that I got from trading stuff for them. You know what I'm saying? We can all figure out a better way. I'm Hart Fisher. You've been listening to Heart Attack. And Josh, I'm going to say it again. Happy birthday, buddy. I hope it gets better from here.
Meh.
Yeah. ride the cold. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. Make this sport what we say. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. Rise stop what we do. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. When they can't do it themselves. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. Way up high, up your, up you. Try to stop us. The society's out of control. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. Make this market think themselves. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. Laugh at us behind our backs. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. I find satisfaction what they lack. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. We are tired of your abuse. Try to stop us, but it's no use. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. I am gonna have my chance. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. We are born with a chance. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. And I am gonna have my chance. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. We are tired of your abuse. Try to stop us. It's no use. Rise above, rise above. Rise above, we're gonna rise above, we're gonna rise above, we're gonna rise above.
Heart Attack is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.